All right, we're going to go ahead and get rolling this morning. We're going to try to get started right on time. This is going to be a wonderful day and a blessed day, a full day at church. So we want to try to get things rolling on time. Let me pray, and we'll let our various classes be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We rejoice in you who reigns over this universe, who reigns over nations, who reigns over governments, and who reigns over our hearts today. Father, we're so grateful for your gracious and good reign over us. We praise you this morning for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We stand amazed at your grace and at the wonderful truths of the gospel. Today we want to commit our time to you, especially in this time right now, for immediately in our classes, for our teaching, that you'll give your blessings upon the words taught and to those who are taught. Commit our time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll let our classes be dismissed. While our classes are going out, I'll mention this several times this morning. Jared Lake was going to be preaching this morning up near Red Boiling Springs at a church where a couple of our guys have gone recently to preach. And Pastor Carroll was going to be there along with him this morning to sort of give some support and help and that kind of thing. And then Jared called Pastor Carroll this morning about 7 o'clock and said, "I'm sick as a dog. Can you preach in my place up there in Red Boiling Springs?" And so I said to Carroll, he asked the right man. So we'll be in prayer for Jared. How is he, Maggie? Still sick as a dog, okay. And let's also be in prayer for Pastor Carroll through the morning as well. All right, so imagine this scenario, if you will. There's a very good and capable teacher. But this capable teacher finds that fairly regularly, her students keep missing the same step in a math problem. Anybody identify with that? I sure can. Now, if one student had carelessly missed that step and got the problem wrong because they were working through something too quickly, again, anybody identify with that? Then that would be no biggie. The teacher could just simply go to that student and say, "Look, you were in a hurry, you made a careless mistake, and here's how you fix that mistake." But that's not the scenario. This good and capable teacher is finding that consistently a good percentage of her students are missing the same step over and over again in this math problem. All right, what's this teacher likely to do? Is she likely to ignore the problem? That wouldn't be helpful to anybody. That wouldn't be helpful to her students in the long term. She's likely to address the problem. All right, how might she address the problem? Some ideas, just quick ideas. How might she address the problem? Dizzy.
Focus on that one issue.
She could do a class on that one issue that everybody's kind of struggling with. Okay? Good answer. How else might she address the problem? Maybe it's a variation on the theme of the answers. She could go back to the basics. Right, she kind of start over, walk through the steps of the problem, and then, like you said, highlight this particular area, this particular weakness that they're having. She could instruct them again. Now, because she's a good and she's a capable teacher, there's something else she might do to address the problem. She might look at what she's doing or not doing. She might look at the fact that maybe she's missing something important in the instruction of how to do that particular problem. Well, something like that is what steered me to do the lesson that I'm doing this morning. It's maybe a one-off lesson. It's probably a one-off lesson, but something along that scenario is what steered me to do this lesson this morning. In recent days, and what a blessing it has been in recent days for us to hear one awesome testimony after another awesome testimony. We're going to hear another one today. Praise God. Another in a couple of weeks of people coming to Christ. And yet, on a consistent basis, the elders have consistently seen in these giving of these testimonies a need to do a little extra coaching, maybe even a little extra coaxing, maybe a little instruction on how these awesome testimonies that we're hearing can be a little more complete. And might I even say how that these awesome testimonies might be a little more Christian. I'll explain what I mean by that in just a moment. We found ourselves almost invariably having to ask that famous evangelism explosion question as we hear testimonies and they're given to us and we kind of come to the end. We say, okay, well, let me ask you a question to help your testimony be a little more complete, a little more Christian. We ask that EE question. If you were to die today and stand before God, and God were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? How would you answer that question? There aren't multiple answers to that question. There may be multiple dimensions about how you come about it, but there are not multiple answers to how you ask that question. And just for the record this morning, for help, I'm going to go ahead and answer that question in a way so that you can maybe take NATO. By the way, in terms of taking notes, hopefully everyone has access to this sheet somewhere on your row. If you don't have one on your row, then I see lots of empty rows, and there were like three on each row. So grab one. I would like for everyone to have one of these this morning, at least as many people as possible, because it's going to be important to look at that sheet as we go along in a few moments. If you were to die today, most important question you could be asked this morning. I could ask you what you have for breakfast, and that would be an okay question. I could ask you what are your plans for this week. That would be an okay question. But the most important question you could possibly be asked is, if you were to die today and you were to stand before God and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, how would you answer that question? And I suggest the answer should go something like this, with some variation on this singular theme. Well, God, you shouldn't. You shouldn't let me into heaven. I mean, I'm a sinner. You're holy God. I have broken your law. I am condemned under your law. I can't get in by any good works that I've done because there are none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. But you're God. And you've made a promise to the world, and you've given a gift to the world, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've given a free gift of salvation to the world, and you said if anyone would come to Christ and believe on Christ and receive the free gift of salvation that I offer in Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and who rose from the dead, that if any person would believe that gospel, they would be saved and they would have the free gift of eternal life. And by your grace, I've believed that promise. I believe you. And by your grace, I repented of my sins and I turn in faith to Jesus Christ. And on that basis, because you are God, because you can't lie, because you've made that promise and you give me the grace to trust and believe on that promise, that's why I should be allowed into heaven. And God's always going to say, come in. Welcome. This idea of having to coax along and help along, honestly, it's not a new predicament. It's something we've seen for years. And that's why I think it seems like a going back to the basics lesson. A going back to the basics lesson on having and giving a Christian testimony might be helpful for us. Now, it could be this morning you've got all that nailed down. You have no issues whatsoever about that. And if this lesson is not helpful for you personally, I hope this lesson will be helpful to you to help others in learning how to have and to give a Christian testimony. So here's the first slide I want to show. The title of the lesson contains two questions that really form the outline for the lesson. I hereby testify, okay? I testify to what? In Acts 26, and we'll look at this if we have time a little later on, in Acts 26, Paul was giving his testimony to Agrippa. And we're going to see he uses some of the exact same things we're going to talk about this morning in making his defense, his testimony to Agrippa. So considering some basics, going back to the basics on giving a Christian testimony. What is a Christian testimony? How do I tell mine? I've got a picture of us being on, as it were, a witness stand, because your Christian testimony is one of your most awesome, powerful, compelling ways to be a witness for Christ. You already have, like, I'm not sure how to witness. You already have a fantastic tool in your toolbox right now just by virtue of your Christian testimony. So here's the first question. What is a Christian testimony? All right. Because this is a going back to the basics lesson on giving and having a testimony, I'm not leaving any stone unturned. All right, we're going back to the basics. I'm using some words intentionally in some slides. For example, what is a Christian testimony? A Christian testimony has to be something that's very specific and very unique. Here's a general definition, just a very general definition. A Christian testimony is your story of you coming to faith in Jesus Christ initially. Or, in addition to that, it could be your story of your experience of walking with Jesus as a Christian. One has to do with when you first came to Christ. The other has to do with how the Christian life has been for you and how walking with Christ has made a difference in your life. Well, there are different kinds. What this tells us, there are different kinds of Christian testimonies. These things that I just mentioned to you right now. The initial conversion story. Here's one. The Christian testimony can be about a person's journey to becoming a Christian, also known as a conversion story. It's your story about you coming to faith in Jesus Christ. All right. When we think about this aspect of a Christian testimony, is that going to be a subjective story or is that going to be an objective story? Now, here's what I mean by that. Subjective story is, it's your story, your experience, what happened in your life. It's going to be different from mine. You're going to be the subject of that story. It's going to be a subjective story. Or, by the way, I think I've always told you, if I'm asking you a trick question, I'll always tell you it's a trick question. This is a quasi-trick question. Right? Is it a subjective story or is it an objective story?
Both.
I heard both over here, I heard both over there. Both, okay? How is that, Art?
Subjective because it's how God has operated in your life.
Right.
Not somebody else, but objective because it's founded on objective truth contained in the Holy Scriptures.
Yeah. It is an objective story. I'm sorry. It is a subjective story. But your testimony, if it's a Christian testimony, that's why I specifically use that word. I just didn't say, what is a testimony and how do I tell mine? What is a Christian testimony and how do I tell mine? On the subjective side of things, it's your story. On the objective side of things, it's the gospel story. Raise your hand this morning. Do you have a conversion story? How many conversion stories do we have in the room this morning? Raise your hand. All right. We can say we have many conversion stories, but we could also say this morning we only have one conversion story in this room today. Because it's a Christian testimony. ultimately, your Christian testimony, as different as it may be from mine subjectively, cannot be different from mine objectively if it's a Christian testimony. Someone answer, just as you can, what is the gospel? What is the good news of the gospel? It's a very important question. Thank you, Pastor Justin. Yeah. The good news of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised on the third day, right, for our justification. It's the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if our Christian testimony doesn't somewhere, somehow, in all the subjectivity of it, get to that central tenet, then it's lacking something in terms of being a Christian testimony. Does that make sense? So we have many conversion stories, but we only have one conversion story. But conversion stories, before I get to that point, conversion stories actually come in all shapes and sizes. The dramatic story, like Paul's on the Damascus Road, or some of your stories, like some of you have said to us, and you say to us, and it's perfectly legitimate, I don't know exactly when I was born again, but I know that God has made a change in my life. I know that I'm alive. Some conversion stories come out of great conflict or great suffering. And some conversion stories, you have to look back and go, you know, at the moment, I didn't put this together and that together and that together, but now I see upon reflection those were the points of God working in my life by his grace at my conversion. And now I can put it together, and we should put it together. But again, just out of curiosity, just for a little survey. For you and your conversion story, if you would, raise your hand. How many of you, sort of in your conversion story, it was something very abrupt and dramatic and memorable, and you can go to date and time? Raise your hand on that. Okay, so a goodly number. For how many of you is your conversion story something far less dramatic than that, sort of a slow build, but there came a time when God gave you grace to put your faith in Christ? Who was that? That's about the same amount of people. Excellent. How about your conversion was born out of really difficult circumstances in your life? Something that just sort of drove you in desperation. Good, Dave. Okay, if you just kind of drove you in desperation to Christ. Yeah. Very good. So they come in different shapes and sizes. Here's the second kind of, as we looked at our general definition, another kind of Christian testimony is a Christian testimony can be a story about the way in which God has personally met a person in their Christian life. Because our conversion story is a wonderful story, but it's not the end of the story. There's the continuing work of God's grace in our lives. But this morning, for our purposes, we're mainly focusing on that idea of that initial story of your experience of coming to Christ in your conversion story. So I said that our outline sort of gave us the two questions. That's the first thing is, what is a Christian testimony? The second then will be, well, how do I tell my testimony? Think about it. Is a testimony untold a testimony? Person's in the courtroom, they go to the witness stand. You know, they promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They get on the witness stand and they say, tell us what you saw, tell us what you heard, tell us what you experienced. They're asking for a testimony because that's what a witness does. A witness is a person who tells what they saw, heard, and experienced. So give us your testimony about what you saw, heard, and experienced. And the person on the witness stand goes, No, we're asking for your testimony. So testimony, by definition, has to be told. So how do I tell my testimony? That's the second basic question that we're asking this morning. And remember, your testimony is important. Your testimony, yours is. Whether it's that dramatic one or that less dramatic one, your testimony is important and compelling. And it's, again, it's one of your best tools in your toolbox to be a witness. It's not something that should be sort of nebulous in your mind. It's amazing how many people on their journey to coming to faith in Christ found one of the most compelling reasons to come to faith in Christ was hearing the testimony of someone they personally knew. Hearing that conversion story. So I want to offer a few practical steps to help us to develop and share our Christian testimony, to help us to develop and share our conversion story. And the first thing I would suggest that you do is this. I was going to say, get out a pen and some paper, but those are rare things these days. Maybe you would sit down to your computer, and if you want to get out a pen and paper, great. But the first thing I would suggest is this, is that you write out your personal story. Now, I'm serious. If you haven't done this, then I would ask, why? I mean, the most important thing that's ever happened in your life is to write it down, and not for the sake of just memorizing it, no, and not for the sake of sharing it verbatim, but because by writing it down and thinking it through and putting it into words helps you to put some of the most important and interesting details about your relationship with Christ. So I've come up with this. This is not mine. I use this from Dr. Robert Somerville. He was a professor of mine, formerly Dr. Robert Somerville, and also the Navigators. They both sort of use this same format that's very helpful for writing down a Christian testimony. Kind of has these three components. And these three components make for an automatic outline as you're sitting down to write your testimony out. My life before I received the Lord Jesus Christ, how I received the Lord Jesus Christ, and my life after I received the Lord Jesus Christ. You may or may not have crossed your mind, but in this outline, I am being persnickety. I'm being picky, and I'm being picky on purpose. I'm being technical, whether that appears to you or not, because I'm trying to be theologically and biblically sound. It's repetitious, but before I received the Lord Jesus Christ, how I received the Lord Jesus Christ, after I received the Lord Jesus Christ, that has to be front and center and central in us giving a Christian testimony. Again, hopefully we'll have time to see that in the Apostle Paul's testimony before Agrippa. This is exactly the form that Paul presented his defense before Agrippa. Agrippa, here's how my life was before I met Christ on the Damascus Road. Agrippa, here's what happened when I met Christ on the Damascus Road. And here's what my life is like after I met Christ on the Damascus Road. And King Agrippa goes, Paul, by telling me these things, you almost persuade me to be a Christian right now. And it was hearing that compelling testimony using these three components. All right, so this idea about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at your handout, if you would, just for a second. Because I'd like for you to think about this handout as being a template of sorts. I'd like for you to think about it being your personal testimony worksheet. Worksheet. So now we have a template in our hands. Now we have something to go to. So we say we'd like you to write your testimony out. Here's a template. Here's a worksheet you can work off of. But going back to that idea about that repetition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we have many conversion stories, but we have one conversion story. And your testimony is a Christian testimony. All right, let's look up a couple of verses. Eric, would you please look up Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to let you read verses 7 through 12 in just a moment. Pastor Chris, you got your, did you bring a Bible this morning? Okay. Would you look up Acts 10:36, please? Neff, maybe Romans 14:9. And Tom, with your good deep voice, Galatians 6:14. All right, so let's go in that order. And just to show you just why I was trying to be persnickety and saying before I received the Lord Jesus Christ, how I received the Lord Jesus Christ, after I received the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Eric, you're going to read for us Acts 4, 7 through 12. And go ahead and read that, and I'll maybe make a comment about it. Why don't you stand so we can give a good, good.
When they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, we are being examined today concerning the good deed done to a crippled man, or what means that this man has been healed. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing with you. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved."
Thank you. Think about that passage for a second. They were saying, in what name are you doing these things? Right? And the answer that Peter gives as he's filled with the Holy Spirit is, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, as the Lord of the living and the dead. By him this man is standing before you. This Jesus, not any old Jesus, not any old guru, not something that I saw or I experienced. By the way, just thinking about Paul's testimony to Agrippa again. Paul was not satisfied to say, "I saw something spectacular. I was going down the road one day, and Agrippa, I saw a great light, and it felt so good. And that great light changed my life." That's a subjective experience. That's not a gospel experience. It was by this name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This Jesus is the one. In verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So our subjective testimony might include our Sunday school teacher. It might include our pastor. It might include a revival meeting. It might include a church camp. It might include singing kumbaya around a campfire. Great. Part of that subjective experience. But at some point or other, we've got to say, but even though I didn't necessarily know it at that moment, God brought me to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's no other name under heaven and earth that I can be by which man can be saved. All right. Pastor Chris, did I give you Acts 10:36?
How far?
Let me just take a peek at that again. Just that verse, please.
36.
Yeah, thank you.
"As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ."
And then is there a parenthetical statement?
Oh, yeah. "He is Lord of all."
Yeah, so there's a parenthetical statement right there. "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace." I mean, it's very possible that your subjective testimony is going to have, "I didn't have peace, and then I did have peace through Jesus and peace with God." But we see something specific here, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. He died to be our Savior, rose to be our Lord. I'm defending against that sort of easy believism that was so pervasive, so far and wide in our nation of you can take Jesus as your Savior, but he's not Lord. No, the gospel is he was died and buried to be our Savior, rose again by God to be our Lord. He is Lord of all. That's part of our testimony. I'm now a disciple of Christ. I want to follow him as Lord. All right, Romans 14, 9. Who did I have look that up? Okay, NF, thank you.
For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living.
Christ died that he might be Lord of all, Lord of the dead and of the living. Then, Tom, your verse?
Is?
Galatians 6, 14.
Thank you. Galatians 6:14. For God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world.
Yeah, if our Christian testimony, one of the element of our Christian testimony is the element of boasting. It's the element of telling how we came to the good news of faith in Christ. And here the apostle says, far be it for me to boast, except in the cross, he says it specifically, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's recognizing the person, the cross work, the supremacy, the authority, the lordship of Christ in my life that was not there before I was a Christian, came at my point of conversion and continues to be present in my life after I follow Christ. So let's try to work through. We're on the witness stand and we're using these elements. We're giving our testimony before I received the Lord Jesus Christ. And this little template, you have a list of questions that will help you to look through these questions, answer these questions, and you find that as you answer these questions, you're forming and writing and developing your own Christian testimony. All right, so before I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, here's a few questions you can ask. I think these are all on your sheet. Before you met Christ, what were some of your needs, what was lacking, or what was missing in your life? There was peace lacking. There was security lacking. Maybe you didn't even know what was lacking, so what was lacking was a lack of knowledge that I was lacking anything. What were some pitfalls and sins you lived in? Things I did, practices I engaged in, things I didn't do. On this point, you want to be real, but be wise. You don't have to give every single detail of every single story about sins that you were in, but that was true of your life. There were sins that characterized your life. How did you view life? It's asking, what was your basic worldview? Every single one of us have a worldview. Before you were Christian, you had a worldview. There were lenses you looked through to interpret life. Lenses you looked through to decide where you wanted to go and how you wanted to get there. Were you an atheist? Were you agnostic? Were you like the Pharisees? Religious, very, very religious, but very, very lost? What was your worldview? What was your family, church, social background like? You may answer some of these questions. You may not answer some of these questions. But what were some personal struggles in your life? That's kind of similar to up above. I like this question. What solutions for your life did you try that didn't work? Where, how, and whom did you seek fulfillment before you came to Christ? Drugs? Alcohol? Loose living? Success? Education? You were seeking things that Jeremiah reminds us are broken cisterns. You were going to those broken cisterns. Your sports, whatever they were, personal acclaim, climbing the top of the ladder, There were cisterns you were drinking from or wanted to drink from that were just empty cisterns. So what were some of those things possibly? All right. And then again, going back to this witness stand, how I received the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thinking about writing out our testimony. And so be specific here. And on this point, this is where you want to be sure to include some of the basic facts of the gospel. You want to include here as you're writing out your testimony some of your own personal realization that you were a sinner. I'm just going to say something here this morning. If you claim to be a Christian here this morning, you claim to have a Christian testimony. You claim to have a conversion story. And there's no personal realization in your life that you are a needy sinner in rebellion against God and His law. That at some point, at somewhere, somehow, through someone's explanation, it came to you that the answer to that personal realization is faith in Jesus Christ and coming to Him in faith. Not just winding up in some nice church, but a personal realization of that. Then you really don't have a Christian testimony. So you want to be specific. Include there as you're writing how Christ paid the penalty for your sin. How God gave you a willingness to turn from your sin to Christ as Lord and Savior. Here's some things that would be included in that. What were the circumstances that caused you to consider Christ? You were just going in your life, going to the rock concerts, smoking dope, living the life, and all. There were some circumstances. Somehow, circumstances came into your life that God used to get your attention. What were those circumstances? I think about my wife. She's a field hockey player. She's in PE college. Does not come from a Christian home. Has very little Christian background. A little bit in her background. And she's out with some friends from college one day. And praise God, there's a street preacher. A street preacher out preaching the gospel. Jane and her friends encounter the street preacher. And he preaches the gospel and he holds up a track, or what, Jan, a track, or Gospel of John or something. And said, if you'd be interested in having one of these, then please come take one. According to Jane's testimony, she ran up to the guy, grabbed the thing out of his hand, and ran away. Didn't he say a word to him? But the Lord used that street preacher and that gospel track and friends around her to help her to come to faith in Christ. But her background was that; those were the circumstances. How did you hear the gospel? That's not the same question as the first. Actually, I think I have another one here. Yeah, that is kind of the same question. The circumstances that caused you to consider the gospel. How did you hear the gospel? You know, how did you encounter Christ through the gospel? And then how did you believe the gospel? And here I'm talking about writing things like, this is the conviction of sin that I experienced. This was a sense of emptiness that I had in my life. This is how God in His grace led me to repentance. This is how I did come in that moment, or how I eventually came to faith in Christ. So there's the circumstance of how you heard the gospel, and then what actually happened subjectively in your life of how God gave you the grace to believe the gospel. That's an important aspect of your testimony. And then, back on the witness stand, after I received the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to be honest here. Christians have problems too. Again, if your Christian testimony is, I was a great sinner, and I met Jesus Christ one day, and life's been perfect since. I've never had any issues. I've never had any struggles. I've never had any problems. Not going to be a very compelling testimony, necessarily. But you can be honest. And if possible, relate changes that have come into your life to the facts that you've mentioned concerning your life before you came to salvation in that first step. Before I came to Christ, these were some of the sins I experienced and dealt with. These were some of the situations that were going on in my life. And having come to Christ, I mean, I'm a new creature in Christ now. I'm not perfect. And life hasn't been perfect. But these have been the ripple effects of God's grace in my life after I've come to Christ. Listen, we've a story to tell to the nations. We have the good news of the gospel and how God invaded our lives and changed and is changing our lives through the gospel. That's the power of God and salvation. Give examples of how Christ met your needs or how he's contributing to your life now. End with a sentence to this effect, that you know you have eternal life through Christ. So here's that basic template, that basic format that can give you an automatic outline with those questions that are on that sheet. That's why I wanted everybody to have one of those sheets. Because asking those questions and filling in those blanks that we have here before I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, how I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, after I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, is how you can write these things out that are going to be beneficial to people. Now, here's who they're going to be beneficial to. I've already said your testimony is important and your testimony is compelling. I'll ask another question. Again, in recent days, we've been so blessed to have people usually stand about right here and give their Christian testimonies. It's been wonderful, hasn't it? I'm going to be willing to say not a single fellow Christian has heard you give your testimony and is sitting there going, boring. It's not happening, is it? We're rejoicing. It's so encouraging for us to hear your story and hear the gospel story again. So fellow Christians, especially if there have been Christians who've been instrumental in your conversion. I don't think there were any happier people to hear my conversion story than Bo Franklin and Dennis Morris. Two people that God used in his providence to love me and share the gospel with me and bring me to Christ. And they would hear my Christian testimony and think, that's wonderful. God used me in that person's life. And another person who's going to greatly benefit from your testimony, of course, are going to be non-Christians. Let me be a broken record. Your Christian testimony is important. Your Christian testimony is, yours. Your Christian testimony is compelling. It really is. It's one of the greatest tools in your toolbox to sit, as it were, on the witness stand and witness to the power of the gospel in your life. And it could be that a lost person that you share your Christian testimony with won't become a Christian just because they've heard your testimony. But God may very well use some little element that maybe you think is not even a particularly important part of your testimony. But God will use some little element of your testimony that will be like a seed that he might plant in the heart and the mind of that lost person that could be used of the Spirit of God to draw them to Christ. Again, Peter gives his testimony, or Paul gives his testimony to Agrippa. Agrippa says, that's compelling. You've almost persuaded me to be a Christian right here, right now, just by telling me your story. So once you've written out your story, it's time to share it. All right, so it's 10:14. Let's turn to Acts 26, just for an example. I was going to try to present two case studies this morning, if time allowed. And the first case study was the Apostle Paul. And we'll work. His is more important than mine. If we have a chance, I'll do another case study and try to demonstrate to you, try to practice what I preach by showing how I personally have written out my Christian testimony. I personally submitted it to Pastor Justin, right? He's the one I always ask you, show us write your testimonies out and give it to us. So I said, well, I'm going to practice what we preach. And I wrote it out and I sent it to him. I said, look it over. Tell me what I need to add or take away from this kind of thing. And I'm glad to say, he said, I wouldn't change anything. I went, yay, it worked. That's what we're trying to get to. All right, Galatians 26. Acts 26. Thank you. Boy, thanks for your help. Paul's defense before Agrippa. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to skip around a little bit. But we're going to see that Paul uses this same template before I received the Lord Jesus Christ, how I received the Lord Jesus Christ, and my life after I received the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 26, verse 1, Paul's basically saying, I hereby testify. So Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. And then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. That's what your testimony is. Your testimony is your defense. All right? Paul giving his testimony before he received the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verses 4 and 5. Agrippa, here was my life and my manner of life and living before I met the Lord Jesus Christ. My manner of life from my youth. He's starting all the way back to his youth. Talking about his background, his home, his training. My manner of life from my youth, I spent from the beginning among my own nation in Jerusalem, is known by all Jews. They have known for a long time, if they're willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. That was his worldview. That was his life. I lived as a Pharisee. I was a very religious person. I was very sincere in my religion, but in my religion, I was sincerely wrong, Agrippa. That's what he's saying, essentially. Carrying on in verses 9 through 11. I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. Agrippa, I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. His life before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a zealot for all the wrong reasons. A religious zealot for all the wrong reasons. He's confessing that. That's part of his story. All right, let's see how he goes on to how I met Christ. The circumstances of his conversion. What happened that brought him to Christ? Let's drop down to verses 19 and 18. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. 19 and let's see. 12, sorry. Start at 12. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and the commission of chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand upon your own feet. I want to skip over now to verse 18 to show Paul talking about how that, him mentioning the gospel here. God used me to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who were sanctified by faith in me. By the way, this is Jesus. I need to back up to, let's go back to verse 16, because it's very important. Paul, rise and stand upon your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you've seen in me and those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you, Paul, to open their eyes, so they may turn from faith to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul didn't say to Agrippa, I was going along a road one day and I saw a great light. I saw something and that changed my life. He did see a great light. He did hear a great voice. But the bottom line of that was an encounter with Jesus Christ, who said to him, in me, there is forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness for your sins of persecuting my people. In me, you're to have faith in me. And that's the message I want you to give to others. After I met Christ, we'll start at verse 19. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to this encounter that I had with Jesus Christ that day. But declared first to those in Damascus and then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. After I received Christ is very different than before I received Christ. Before I received Christ, I was out there putting as many people as I could in jail. I was a religious zealot for God. I was a Pharisee of the highest order. After I became a Christian, I was out there trying to tell everyone, including the Gentiles, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ had changed my life. I'm just showing you that to show that that's a template that Paul used in framing his testimony also. Before I received Christ, how I received Christ, and after I received the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, time is not going to allow for me to read, to use myself as a case study, but I did write out my testimony, and I did submit it to one of our pastors, and I'm grateful to say that he said, well, your template, and this is exactly what I did, was my life before I met Christ, how I met Christ, after I received Christ, that was the template. And so now I have an assignment for you, for anyone who will. I hope you all will, but I can't force you to, but I hope you all will. I want to urge you, this is what Paul said to the Romans, I want to urge you by the mercies of God, I want to urge you this morning to take the time to get out a pen, paper, go to your computer, and using this template to write out your Christian testimony. I would love to see it. If you want to give me a copy of it, I would love to see you. We could talk through it a little bit. But the assignment would be not only write it out, but then put your testimony to work by trusting the Lord for someone to share that testimony with as well. Because it's compelling, important, and may be used by God in their lives. Let's stop and pray. Lord, we want to commit our minds to you, our hearts to you. Take the things that we've talked about this morning, just these really basic, back-to-basic lessons on our Christian testimony. Thank you that we have one. Thank you that you've worked in our lives, that there was something true about our lives before we knew your Son, and how you, by your grace, brought us to your Son, and how you've changed our lives since then. And we praise you and give you all the glory for that. I pray you'll take these things and make them helpful to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be dismissed.